The Skies are much the better side, Miles. I mean, 32-15, outscored 5-2, but I mean, there was opportunities, but it was just this, the general, I was very interested to see what Skerry would be like, because I knew they'd come down, but they did, they were very impressive in the warm-up and all, and no, they're a good side, and no Derry supporters yesterday could have any qualms, scored by 5-2, and to be honest, a lot of very basic mistakes. I mean, the first Skerry score came from Derry not being able to gather a dropout. The same thing happened a second time from a halfway line, and a lot of basic mistakes, and even in the last 10 minutes when they were attacking and looking to try and score another try, you know, there was aimless kicking the ball on the touch or high balls to the full back, and the direction they got there is not going to win you tries. No, there's a lot of work to be done. I mean, you could turn around and say, well, it's the first league game of the season, but it gets no easier next week against Armagh, who are a very, very good side, I'm told, coached by former Ulster coach Brian McLaughlin. But just yesterday, there was Skerry's very cohesive, very good in the driving from the line-out. Their offloading of the ball was good. Their backs were very, very crisp and sharp, and with their full-back scoring a very good try when he hit the line. Derry on occasions threatened, but really, at the end of the day, they were playing second fiddle to Skerry's, and Skerry's, I think, will be a team well worth watching. Might just add, Miles, I'm sure people like yourself and some of the elderly generation or people in the middle generation would be delighted to know that a certain Mr. Bill Mulcahy, a young 82-year-old former British and Irish Lions in Ireland's second row, was up supporting a relative of his and was talking to his son Billy, who used to hook for Skerry. So I think it's fantastic to see a man of 82 years of age stand on the touchline and looking as fresh as ever, and just looked as ominous as ever, Miles. Nobody would have argued with him.
I'm sure not, and I'm sure he packed down with the great Willie John McBride in his day.
Yeah, well, it's very interesting that you should say that, because there's a series on Sky of Heroes, and Keith Wood interviews Willie John. He talks about the tour to South Africa and all the famous stories, but he says that as a 21-year-old when he was selected for Ireland, and then the following year he went on a tour to South Africa with the Lions in 62, that the man who he taught and the man who he followed for 2 to 3 years was Bill Mulcahy. He just was a fabulous player to play with. Not the biggest man in the world, but there was very few men got the better of him. And, you know, I just thought yesterday, I wonder what he thought of the new age of professionalism. And I don't think, even now with all it, there'd be any men any harder than he was when he's playing days.
Exactly so, yeah. Okay, well, Skerry's got the better of City of Derry. You know, you've seen the City of Derry play most of their games for the last good number of seasons. How did they compare, say, yesterday against how they performed last year?
Well, as you know, Miles, they've lost a few players. I mean, obviously, Andrew Semple, their scrum half, David Fulston, their centre, are both away. The two guys that came down from Oma have gone back to Oma. Mark Brown and Ali Beckett, Stephen Dickey went back to Korean. So they've lost five or six players that would have been there, and unfortunately they haven't really recruited too well. There has been a problem, of course, with the coach. They didn't have a coach coming on to take over from Terry McMaster, who had told them way back in February. They had hoped to get a coach in, and unfortunately things fell off, and as it stands at the moment, young Richard McCarter sort of been left with the opportunity with help from Stephen Douglas from Korean. That's a bit disjointed, but certainly they just haven't recruited the players that are necessary. Some of the young players coming through will show a lot of potential, but you know that miles takes a few years. It's just not something that happens. And there was times yesterday where a wee bit of naivety showing through, you know, where you could see that. And they really are missing sort of Semple at scrum half and Funston in the centre, two key positions to really show the team up at times. But there's a lot of hard work that's only have to be done, because it's not going to be easy. As I say, Armagh next week will probably be very difficult. Don't know what Thomond's like. Looking at the results yesterday, it's very hard to judge in the first week, but you know, the thing is, it's important that you don't go too long without getting a result, and certainly once that happens, the morale go down. But there'll be a lot of hard work after we've done, Miles, in the next 2 or 3 weeks as regards this team.
And let's look at the Pro 12 League on Friday. Ulster taking on Scarlets, winning 19-8. Were you impressed?
I was in the first 20 minutes, Miles, you know, because being at the game, it was very frustrating. Ulster really should have had a bonus try by half-time, or at least had three tries. There was a couple of occasions where, especially the one where McCluskey held on too long before they released Gilroy. If they let Gilroy have the ball immediately, he would have sauntered in the corner. As it was, he was tackled short of the line. But a few occasions, and then the start of the second half, Pietau, who had a good game without being outstanding. On two occasions, he only had to throw a good pass to Louis Luttick, and Luttick would have been in him. But on both occasions, one went to ground and one went behind him, and that was two chances gone. And then they started to make mistakes and let the Scarlets back into the game, and everybody was saying, oh, it's going to be like last year too when the Scarlets dragged themselves back to a 1-point victory. In fact, the Scarlets got themselves back to 12-8, and it was looking a bit ominous on that one, but Ian Henderson, who'd come on, got the winning score. But Kiss will have been disappointed. It's 3 out of 3, yes, but next Friday night it's going to be a different ball game for Ulster. I mean, they're away to Glasgow, that's a key one, and then on Saturday the other big game is at the Ospreys, who are unbeaten with that 3-try bonus points as well. They travel down to the RDS to play Leinster, so that's two cracking games there. And this time next week, the league table will start to show up a bit, but certainly Ulster, they'll have to, against Glasgow, when they create chances, they're going to have to take them, and defensively they can't afford to give anything away, because the Glasgow team at the moment were very, very good. We saw the way that they looked after Connacht, and then and that other game, their game last week as well, where Tommy Seymour got 3-4 tries, they were very, very impressive. So a lot of work to be done for Ulster. Connacht Zebre game, I mean, Connacht yesterday at one stage, it was 22-12, I think, with 56 minutes gone, but then apparently the heavens opened and the game had to be abandoned out in Italy, and will be replayed, because it has to be at least an hour gone before the result stands. But Connacht will be very happy with that result, because, yeah, I mean, to have lost a third game in a row would not have been good for them. Munster impressive now against the Dragons. You can see Ronnie Erasmus, he's starting to bring them on. A lot of the young players starting to come through. And again, they'll be delighted to have gone over to the Dragons and won that one, because it was a game that it was in the balance with about 15 minutes to go. But Munster once again showed their mettle and hung on to win it, Miles.
Yeah, just 4 points in it. Munster 20, the Dragons 16. So, yeah, they're, I suppose none of the provinces are playing particularly good rugby, but you can see improvements coming week on week.
Well, I think part of the problem too, Miles, is, and it has to be disruptive, you know, for the coaches. You know, the player management scheme that the IRF you have, you know, there's certain players are not back yet. You take the Ulster setup where you have Jared Payne, Andy Trimble, and Rory Best still not back. You go down into Leinster, and they have players still not coming on board. The same in Munster, you know, there's a few players. So it is a bit disruptive in a sense that they're not at full strength. Whereas the Scottish and the Welsh teams, all their internationals have literally been back from day one. And, you know, they've already played three games with a reasonably settled side. From Ulster's point of view, Leinster and, of course, Munster, next weekend again, the internationals will be coming back, and they have to integrate into the team. And it's not always that easy for players just all of a sudden to come back in, no matter how good they are.
No, and, well, not surprisingly, I suppose it's a physical game, but players are injured even at the beginning of the season, so that's a factor as well.
Oh, it is. It is very much so, and the intensity of the game now. I mean, the number of injuries just is quite amazing what happens. But, you know, as I say, it'll be very interesting. I mean, next Friday and Saturday are two key matches, because I know it's only the fourth game of the tournament, but, you know, points at this stage of the season, as we all know, are very vital when it comes to the final few games in the top four situations. And you'd have to say, looking at the sides at the moment, that I know Munster come on, but at the moment, even judging from last year, that Leinster, Ulster, Ospreys and Glasgow, you know, you would have to put them in the top four or five of that league at present. That doesn't mean other teams are not going to come through, but so those two matches are going to be key games, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of people watching them.
I'm sure there will. Well, overall, how did the season start in general, in your opinion?
It's very interesting. They obviously, from the Pro 12 point of view, there's been some very, very good rugby played, and the live games have certainly shown up. Club rugby wise, I see yesterday with the All Ireland League, I mean, disappointing one for Derry. But if we go on to the Ulster rugby, I mean, the team at the moment for me, or there's two sides, but the team at the moment for me here have been absolutely outstanding, have been Oma in qualifying one. I mean, they in their first game absolutely destroyed it. Cook from Belfast, 41-0. But yesterday they went up to Shaw's Bridge to take on Anstonians, who in the last 2 years have won that league and have just failed to get onto senior rugby. But they went up to Shaw's Bridge yesterday and they beat Anstonians 22-21. And they're now top of that qualifying League One, which is tremendous. And they're putting out four teams there at Mellon Park. And, you know, I'll hopefully get up to see them. I think it's a Portadown game I want to go up and see, just to see how well they have come on since they got that promotion. In the Division 2 of that, Limavady had a very big victory over the University of Ulster Corian, 74-5. Last year they were a reasonable side, but maybe a lot of students maybe leaving and maybe not someone good enough coming in. But Limavady, that's their second win now and since they were promoted, and that looks good. In the Division 3, the provincial, national, all these new terminologies, Miles, but this was the old qualifying 3 as we knew it. Letterkenny, I saw last week, a wee bit disappointing, and they went down to Newry yesterday and unfortunately lost out by 38 points to nil. And a young side, and again, they're trying to get it right.